Hello, seafood friends. You're listening to Catch the Current, the coolest seafood podcast out there from the team at Undercurrent, bringing you everything from the boats to the boardrooms, breaking down the news, spilling a little industry fish oil, and sharing the sharp market insights you need to know. I'm Amanda Buckle.
And I'm Lauren Castiglione.
And we have a mini co-host with us this week because we're recording on Take Your Kid to Work Day. Say hello to Miss Emma Buckle.
Hi.
Emma, tell us about yourself. How old are you? What grade are you in?
I'm in first grade and I am six.
And do you love seafood?
Yes.
There was a little hesitation.
She paused there.
But are you ready to talk seafood, Emma? Because it's been a big week.
Yes.
Good answer. We've had Seafood Expo Global.
We basically sent a baseball team to Barcelona, Spain. A whopping 9 members of the Undercurrent team were on the show floor this week, and we'll have quite a few of them on the pod next week for a bonus episode to break it all down. But there was plenty of news that broke outside of Seafood Expo Global this week, and I'm talking about the surprise return of the Endless Shrimp promotion at Red Lobster.
So I'm going to have to ask you to hit the brakes right there because I refuse to talk about this any further until we are actually sitting down over a plate of Endless Shrimp at Red Lobster with our shrimp guy, UCN price analyst Gary Morrison.
I think we can make that happen today.
Okay, so we did have this conversation over shrimp. We sat in that booth, mics in hand, and chowed down on some delicious shrimp. But I also did not think it through completely because we cannot obviously have music playing in the background of a recording.
Womp, womp. But we're still going to talk about it, and I have a chance now to lie and rewrite history, but I'm actually happy with my choice. I did not order the endless shrimp. I went with the shrimp your way and chose 3 shrimp dishes just for $15.99.
And I did the same, Lauren.
And you know, I was annoyed with both of you for it, but I actually wish I did as well. It was too much shrimp. It got me. But before we get to the bottom of our dishes, I want to backtrack and set the table here first.
Agreed. Because I have to say that I did not foresee the return of Endless Shrimp when all the details about the financial hit that the restaurant took from the promotion came to light during its Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And then it launched its Spendless Shrimp campaign. I thought it was the end of an era. But here we are.
I thought the same thing. Damola Adam Lakin, Red Lobster's new CEO, after it was sold and emerged from bankruptcy in 2024, had been pretty adamant about the Endless Shrimp campaign being over. At one point, he did an interview where he said something along the lines of Endless Shrimp would not be returning because he knows how to do math. Fast forward, and yesterday I had the biggest shrimp feast of my life. The promotion officially relaunched this past Monday as a limited time offer. We were our waitress's first table to order. She was excited for us and she spilled the fish oil to us. She said that the Endless Shrimp promo is only running 6 weeks. So if you're trying to get in as much shrimp as you can, then mark your calendars for 6 weeks from April 20th. But it really marks a shift for the Orlando, Florida-based company. The offer originally priced at $20 and later increased to $25. It did generate heavy traffic, but it also failed to cover food costs and operational costs, contributing to an estimated $11 million loss in a single quarter.
And I have to say, the place was pretty busy for a random Thursday afternoon. I did see another table with big orders of shrimp, but quite a few of the tables had the new seafood boils too.
Man, did they look good.
Oh, we'll be back, but endless shrimp first.
Yes. So we know the price varies by location. We're in Toms River, New Jersey, and the promotion was priced at $24.99. So they're not going higher than what they ended it last time. It's still a good deal. And that does seem to be a core focus for diners when they go in to eat. They want value.
Yeah, I think you're seeing a certain segment of the population that really is turning to value. They are cognizant of what they're purchasing. And with inflation hitting that segment of the population, I think they're very in tune to what they're spending it on. But I think if we first take a step back before talking about pricing and value of the promotion, it is important to really understand that the primary issue with the promotion in previous years was the undue influence of the supplier-owner relationship. If you remember, Thai Union was both the majority owner of Red Lobster and the primary supplier. So they essentially used the restaurant as a dumping ground for the excess inventory that they had on hand. Red Lobster's management reportedly bypassed traditional bid cycles to award exclusive contracts to Thai Union. In a healthy market, as we are in right now, without that influence, a buyer of Red Lobster scale would be able to leverage competitive bidding to lower the price and lower the cost per pound. But by eliminating rival suppliers, they likely paid a premium, even as their internal demand soared. Now that the procurement teams can shop based on origin, type, size, as well as suppliers, it gives them a little bit more leeway in that pricing risk. As for the wholesale prices currently, we talked about the risk, but if you look at the undercurrent shrimp index, the farm white shrimp value added index, U.S. wholesale sat at $5.60 per pound as of Wednesday's assessments. This index represents a weighted average of the value added forms and sizes of white shrimp. But as we talked about previously, the procurement teams can shift their strategy a little bit based on price, and they can drift into smaller sizes or types that can be much lower than the average of the index that we're seeing right now.
When Red Lobster announced the return of the fan favorite promo this week, Adam Lakin confirmed that it's only back for a limited time. You know, we confirm now that it's 6 weeks. He said that the chain wanted to bring it back in a way that works for our business today and honors what made it special from the beginning.
And you walk in, at least to our location, and the first thing that you see is a sign that says, "Endless Shrimp. You wanted it. We figured it out."
I love that. Red Lobster is giving the people what they want. The question is, why now?
Well, I think even in the past, it was a really good time. It's just that their strategy wasn't correct. Now is a really good time because we're seeing the U.S. wholesale shrimp market pricing softening. Between the Supreme Court striking down tariffs and Ecuador's relentless production growth, there is lower cost inventory on the horizon. So I don't know if it was just perfect timing or luck, but importers in the U.S. have been negotiating to win business, and that means lower prices for buyers like Red Lobster. So certainly you might mitigate some of the pricing risk, but what Red Lobster really can't do is hedge against a diner that eats 3 pounds of shrimp. So they have to make sure that their demand forecasts are correct and that people coming in are eating a normal amount of shrimp.
We talked about this. Like, what are the rules? What are the etiquette? And we did ask our waitress, and she said, like, yeah, they obviously don't want you bringing shrimp home, of course, you know, which is likely why people go and do it. I ended up leaving with shrimp, but it was still like shrimp from my original plate. It was just so much shrimp. So I proved, Gary, that I could not eat 3 pounds of shrimp. So they made their money on me. But I was
a little disappointed that you didn't reorder anything.
But she made me feel funny by saying like, yeah, but well, we don't want people to bring it home. Cause I obviously would have I could have ordered more of that coconut shrimp. So let me get there. I ordered the new Marry Me shrimp. I thought it was delicious, but I think I would have preferred it over linguine. Lauren, you ordered that too, right?
I did. Yes. Mm-hmm. I was thinking it was more of a spicy shrimp. So I was surprised by it, but it was good.
It was good.
The crispy dragon shrimp was my fave.
Yes. And this is where I could have eaten an endless amount of that crispy dragon shrimp, but it wasn't available on the endless shrimp offerings.
Yeah, I think we were 3 for 3 because I think that was my favorite as well.
Yeah, but again, that's how they get you. Because if I had a plate full of that, I could have sat there for hours. And then the other thing I ordered was Walt's favorite, because if it's a favorite, it's got to be good.
But who is Walt?
Did you look it up?
I did, and I think Red Lobster needs to have a little note somewhere on their menu explaining who Walt is. He was an OG employee who worked at Red Lobster for 36 years. So they named it after him. So yeah, fun little fact. And Gary, you ordered popcorn shrimp.
I did. And, you know, again, I think it goes back to, you know, a little bit of what the customers want, but also a little bit of what Red Lobster's pricing strategy that we talked about before. Popcorn shrimp are much smaller. So they drifted a little bit into a different size, right? And that provided them a little bit more value and added to their margin.
Know what I noticed yesterday, and I apologize for not being a frequent diner at Red Lobster. I don't know how long this has been there, but they have a little symbol with a P on it next to some menu items, and it stands for plenty under $20. So if you're going to Red Lobster, someone in your dinner party wants seafood. You know, Red Lobster was always a special treat that my grandparents personally would take us to. And I bet my grandfather was probably a huge endless shrimp fan. But when you think of seafood, you also think this is going to be an expensive meal.
Right. So to have these options to attract diners at every price point, like the shrimp your way, still a lot of shrimp for $20.
I noticed a lot of land-based proteins marked as under $20, like a Parmesan crusted chicken, a bacon cheeseburger, and a 7-ounce sirloin.
Did you see that they had fish and chips with wild-caught cod on there for 1999?
Right. And if anybody's in tune with the cod market right now, prices are historically elevated. So I'm curious to see how that's working out for them right now.
It might be more expensive to reprint the
They are definitely catering to everyone at different price levels, but shrimp specifically, I think the industry has to do a better job of showing people the value and the nutrition of shrimp and the taste. So I think the industry at large is probably, happy that Red Lobster features shrimp, endless shrimp again. People just want a high quality, consistent eating experience always. And I think that the seafood industry as a whole has a challenge with the convenience and that messaging to customers. But shrimp is very well positioned in all these factors, especially at this price point. If you're talking some of the competitive seafood items, and you're talking about red king crab, that's really taken over as the premium shellfish. We're talking $75 to $80 per pound on the wholesale level. Even snow crab, another crab item that we saw a lot of people eating at Red Lobster. I know that we're starting the main Canadian fisheries now, but the last price points of around $11 to $12 per pound. So if we go back to the $5.60 per pound on the shrimp index, it's pretty reasonable. Now, if you're going to compare it to some of the other proteins, beef continues to be at historic highs and continues to trend upwards. There has been no demand destruction as beef has gone up in price this whole time. That industry has done a really, really good job with consumers. If you look at USDA recent numbers on the wholesale level, a ribeye is at $11.50 a pound, so almost double shrimp. Strip loin, another common steak, is at $10.50 per pound. So again, $5 per pound above shrimp. And even ground beef has been hovering and averaging over $5 per pound. I know we saw that on the menu in the $20 space for a burger, right? So now we're talking endless shrimp versus a burger at pretty much the same price point. I don't know what you would rather have, but I think I know the answer.
Shrimp, obviously.
Crispy dragon shrimp and coconut shrimp specifically.
Yes. All right, we've got to jump from shrimp to salmon now. Undercurrent broke the news last week that U.S. salmon producer Northline Seafood's co-founder and chief executive Ben Blakely resigned abruptly amid attempts by rival Silver Bay Seafood to take control of the company. Silver Bay initially denied that it sought any ownership stake in its competitor, but over the weekend, the company announced to its fleet that it will deliver salmon to the Hannah, a 400-foot freezer barge owned by Northline Seafoods, a former competitor in Bristol Bay, Alaska. An unsigned note from the Silver Bay fleet management stated that through this custom processing arrangement, Silver Bay Seafood's fishermen will have the opportunity to deliver to the Hannah.
Meanwhile, a parallel message by Michael Link, CEO of the Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation, or BBEDC, was sent to Northline's fleet saying that the company would remain independent, but that its fishermen would be offered an opportunity to fish for Silver Bay following the departure of its core management team earlier that week. Now, Blakey was not the only one to resign. His sister, Jenna Hall, who also serves as Alaska Operations Manager, resigned as well.
Things are getting messy. One veteran Bristol Bay salmon executive told Undercurrent that the message to the Northline fleet from Link is contradictory. Others are concerned that increased consolidation among the U.S. processors in Alaska could trigger confidentiality rules that would hamper transparency in the state's wild salmon harvest.
UCN's Jacob Resnick has been covering the story from all over the world. He broke the story first in Alaska while up there for Confish, and then took a couple of connecting flights to Barcelona for Seafood Expo Global, where he continued to hammer away at developments. So links to his articles and further details on the story can be found in the show notes.
And finally, sticking with Alaska salmon, official forecasts for the upcoming wild Alaska salmon production mirrored the roughly 44% decline compared to 2025's harvest, though much of that is explained by fewer pink salmon, which are on a 2-year cycle and historically have weaker runs in even numbered years. U.S. state fishery managers project 125.5 million total salmon to be caught in 2026. That's compared to the nearly 195 million fish harvested in 2025. Leilani Dunn, Executive Director of the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, told Undercurrent in Barcelona that producers continue to fetch a premium price in both U.S. domestic and export markets, where they cannot compete against the volume of farm-raised fish. She said it's really nice to hear that the consumer is willing to pay more.
That is so nice to hear. You go, Alaska salmon. Wow, what a fun episode. I was totally feeling down on missing out on Barcelona this year, but this really turned it around. And I've got to break out these seafood worksheets that I've been holding on to. While we were waiting for our food at Red Lobster, I brought some stuff to occupy Emma because we can't just have her, you know, sit in there unoccupied. And I'm going to share a photo of these in the show notes. If you have an elementary school age kid and want some fun educational worksheets, the Atlantic Canada Fish Farmers Association created a word search, a crossword, and like a color by number that are perfect. So I had put out the call on LinkedIn for some seafood friendly printable worksheets a few months ago because Emma here came home with a worksheet teaching kids about different protein rich foods that they can eat. And they did give examples of seafood. They listed crab on there. But the other example that they gave for kids was angelfish. Which, Emma, are you supposed to eat angelfish?
No.
Thank you.
Smart girl.
I guess technically you can eat it. I did look it up because I'm like, am I wrong? I'm like, are we not reporting on this massive angelfish
market? Right.
Yeah. You know, because I'm like, you know, we've been working in the industry for how long? And it's not like not even brought up at like GSMC. So I'm like, oh, maybe I'm wrong. But no, you don't eat angelfish. And that's what they're teaching these kids. So that really bothered me. Being the hardworking, seafood loving mom that I am, I set out to help Emma's teacher by finding him some better materials. I could not though. LinkedIn did come through though. Caitlin Harris, the community outreach and education coordinator for the Atlantic Canada Fish Farmers Association, reach out with a YouTube video and these free printable worksheets that I was able to pass along to Emma's school. So finger snaps also for the Atlantic Canada Fish Farmers Association for thinking about the youth and how we can start educating them now about healthy food and where it comes from. All right, well, that does it for us this week. If you enjoyed listening to us eat, then please consider funding our next dream summer road trip to the Bronx so we can get to try Captain D's.
Additional funding, though, is needed to get Undercurrent America's editor, Jason Huffman, up from Maryland. He had major FOMO that we were meeting up at Red Lobster today.
Well, maybe they have a Captain D's closer to him. We'll have to get back to the drawing board. All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you back here next week.
Bye-bye.